Hello again, all UAU Wishbone listeners. This is another one of those special audio from the video shows. We did this last week and people seemed to like it, got quite a few downloads, and so we'll do it again. John and I did our live video Sunday afternoon chat, this time mostly about Alabama-LSU, along with some stuff about our trip down to Auburn for the Georgia game and what we'll be doing then. And we had lots of questions and comments from our audience as well. So stand by for the live audio feed from the Sunday, November 10th edition of the AU Wishbone live video. Hey, we are live as opposed to dead. That's always a good move, I think. And today is Sunday. This is November the 10th. I hear new signage being made. This is November the 10th, 2019. And John and I are back. We are back for a new episode of our Sunday video talk. We'll be doing our regular podcast as usual on Monday night. It'll go up midnight Monday night, sometime early Tuesday morning, as always. But this is our extra little thing we're doing now. We'll keep doing it as long as it's fun, as long as we want to, I guess, right? And where we talk about other stuff maybe that we're not going to talk about as much on Monday, and where we take questions and comments from folks who are watching. So if you have a question or a comment for us, go ahead and hit us up over there in the little column on the side. And then, of course, when it's on YouTube, you can see all of them later. So once it's up. So how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, we're going to go see some movie later today, but we have some time this afternoon. We're able to kind of fit it in there, and that's cool. So we got several things to talk about. We'll talk more about Alabama-LSU today because we usually don't have a lot of time on our show to talk about anything but Auburn on the pod, right? So we can talk about the LSU-Alabama game because that was well worth talking about. And I have a couple other things I want to talk about. I'm sure our audience will be kind of popping up some interesting questions too. So I guess first up, what were your thoughts about how the Alabama-LSU game played out?
I wasn't shocked. I thought it would be, two good offenses going at each other, and I thought that they were pretty even. And I thought, LSU's been very impressive all year. I've watched them a lot, and I know they're a very good team. My only concern was kind of the mental aspect of it, where Alabama's been in their head for so long. Could they handle it when the game got tight? But they came out and jumped on Alabama with both feet, especially at the end of the first half. And I think a lot of the success is Burrow as an individual. I think we underrate him, and I think he's so mentally tough that he wasn't, bothered by that stuff. And I think he went into their stadium and played a great game. And so it was exciting. It's always a joy to watch Alabama lose, especially when they're favored at home. And I think as a Saturday when there was not an Auburn game, so we had kind of a stress-free Saturday, it was a joy to watch a really, really good college football game.
Exactly. The stress-free part was great because it's like the highs were almost as high, but
yes.
The lows, it's like, oh, I get so excited, LSU's doing something great. And then if Alabama does something, I'm like, oh, well. Whereas if it was us, I'd be like, oh, Auburn did something great. And I'd be like, oh, LSU did something great, or Alabama, So this was all the highs without the lows.
I felt for the fans of both teams a little bit during the middle of that game, and it was kind of back and forth. The tension had to be just killing some people.
This is the perfect example, too, of how when you're playing a Nick Saban Alabama team, it's like playing Super Dracula. You can't just put one stake in his chest. You got to come back and hammer another one and another one. You got to make sure that thing is dead. And they several times rose back from the crypt again. And, of course, that doesn't apply just to them in the game. I'm turning to Nick Saban. It doesn't just apply to them in the game. It also applies to them over the course of the season, that their likelihood of getting in the playoffs will also likely rise from the dead if we don't, put another stake in their chances, in their heart, before it's all over.
Are people commenting? I can't see it.
No, I don't see any yet.
Okay. There we go.
This example. Well, there aren't any. So we have numerous people watching. There are other things I can do here. This is an example of a banner, but I don't think it lets me. Let me just see.
This is an example of a banner too.
I'm wondering if maybe there's like a technical Let's see. Oh, there's. I had done that one before. There's a good question. So I'm assuming that, yeah, it may be that just the folks that we have watching don't have anything to say. So that would mean that our usual regulars are not watching. So maybe they're all busy today, and that's fine. We got quite a few people that are watching. So, and of course, remember, I'm putting the audio from this out maybe like Thursday, which people said that they like that. So I've been love my whole life. Oh, live. Oh, about 8 minutes now. It's 1:09 in the central part of the United States here in the great Midwest. It's 2:09 in the communist East Coast, the Eastern Bloc, and we've been on here for a little while now. So, Elvis is here. All right, so it is working. It's just that the folks that were watching didn't really have anything really to say, so that's cool. So we can go back to saying it's our Sunday live show with comments. So a couple of things that I did want to get in. I want to say something about Iowa State, Oklahoma, because I watched the highlights of that. I didn't see any of it last night. Well, Lily, it was on at the place we were eating. But I actually had a couple of comments, and I sent to you. I do want to rank the top six teams real quick. We can do that to start with if you want. I want to talk about Alabama, LSU more. Oh, yeah. Here are my two controversial comments. Here are my My first controversial comment is about Alabama. See, I look at you, but it's not like I'm looking at you. So when I want to look at you, I want to look here. Because there is your cyclopean eye up there. Hey, John. But you're over here. It's very confusing. Anyway, Nick Saban. So my first controversial comment is, or question is, Alabama has years and years of number one ranked, or at worst, maybe two ranked recruiting classes. Any coaches they want in the country, any players they want, they get anything they want, all the money in the world, right? They have no excuses, and yet now they failed to convert all that wealth of possibility into a win again. They've lost the last two really big, meaningful games they played in against actual competitive teams, and they've given up lots of points in both games. So my first question is, what is going on with Alabama failing? Alabama keeps failing. Why? Why does Alabama keep failing at tackle football? And my number two controversial thing is about us, and that is, I want LSU's offense. That's it. I've been on the fence for a few weeks this season, but I'm looking now and I'm going, that's what we need to be doing. And I'm ready to sign on the dotted line. It's like the car salesman brought this offense out, but the car salesman sounded like this. Well, this is my new offense, cookies. Okay. And I wasn't sold. Hold on. I am now officially sold on this offense. All right. So what do you think? Number one, what's wrong with Alabama? And number two, can I have the LSU offense?
Number one, what's wrong with Alabama? When you say what's wrong, they played two teams, at Clemson in January and LSU this weekend. And in those two games, they've given up an average of 45 points and 510 yards of offense. And in both games, they lost one, more decisively than the other. But one was at home, one was on a neutral site. And the reality is that even with the talent and depth and coaching of Alabama, modern offenses have an advantage. I think for a long time, people in the SEC said, in this Big 12 offenses, the Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and those kind of schools, and they're having these big shootouts and Baylor and TCU and Texas and all that, it's bad defense. And on some level, that's part of it. But the other part is the modern rules of football favor offense to a degree and make it very hard for defense. And I think the skill level of offensive players has increased dramatically, coming out of high school and the development of them over the last 20 years. And I think we're seeing kind of the culmination of that, that if you want to play with these teams and beat those teams, you have to have a very high level on both sides of the ball. And the reality is, like, I don't think either one of those teams' defense is bad. I don't.
No.
I don't think Alabama's defense is nearly as good as it was 5 years ago.
Right. No, absolutely.
Some of that is the change in football, and some of that is like they're getting whatever 20% less talent and it's going, you know, five-star talent and it's going to other places, Clemson or Georgia or LSU. So I think that's a – but you're right. We've seen Alabama over the last few years have problems with, you know, teams that throw the ball a lot, and that seems like the thing to do if you want to be, you know, playing against them. I think in terms of your second point, I get it. We, you know, the LSU offense is very hot. I will be very interested to see the LSU Joe Brady offense without Joe Burrow. Yeah. I think we are dramatically underappreciating him.
That's a good
point. I love the system, and the system is great and all that, but he is a senior who is incredibly talented, who is playing at a very, very high level. He literally is having like their Cam Newton season.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. And I think we get caught up so much talking about the system that it takes away from what he as an individual player is doing.
Could Bo Nix do what Burrow's doing in the future?
When he's a senior?
Yeah, I think
sure,
so.
Sure, in that offense, 100%, yes. Mm-hmm, I and I get it. Like, everybody would like LSU's offense, the what they're running right now. I think they, again, LSU had talent. They weren't maximizing the effective use of that talent all these years. But now they are. And I think the other thing, I mean, in terms of the game and the offense and all that, that Edwards-Helaire guy, the running back, is the most underrated player in the SEC. Like, I underrated him before we played them. He was great in the game against us. He was great in the game against Alabama yesterday.
He was the man. 100%
was a first-team SEC running back.
Yeah, he was the man against well, let's run through a couple of things. So Scott Crankton says, was there an offensive line holding call in the LSU-Alabama game? Since we're doing the audio on the pod, I need to, I guess, actually read the question, so I didn't do a good job last week. I'll do better. Was there an offensive line holding call in the LSU-Alabama game? If SEC officials are reluctant to call holding, how does this impact Auburn's defense going forward? I think it's impacted our defense all season long, which is that, you know, they've held our big dudes on the front defensive line constantly, and they waited in the LSU game until the last moment that it could matter, and then it hurt us, you know, or something. So yeah,
I did not see a holding call. Alabama. This is the other thing about Alabama. Going back to what's wrong with Alabama in the Clemson game and in this game, they lacked composure. I think they came apart when they were punching against somebody on their level. They really couldn't handle it. And I think you saw the mistakes, the penalties, 12 men on the field, yeah, the punters dropping the ball, even Tua dropping the ball. I think all of those things were signs that Alabama's composure isn't what they thought it was or what it has been.
Let me see. So Rusty Owens asks, why doesn't Nick get blamed for defensive lapses like Gus does for offensive lapses? I'm here blaming him. I'm saying you got 20 years of, it seems like, of five-star players all over the board, and you're giving up 40-something points to LSU. I mean,
And more to Clemson.
yeah.
And 100%, and again, because Nick Saban isn't just the defensive coach. He's the guy that helps coach the secondary. So when they had that bust early, you know, end of the first quarter, being the second quarter where the two guys were wide open, that's him. That's his specialty. And I think it just to go back to your second point, that goes to show how good a job LSU's offense is doing in confusing people. So I, you know, whatever we can steal, take away, beg, borrow, hire whoever to incorporate some of that going forward, yes, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think they should pay Saban anymore. I think he's clearly shown he doesn't know what he's doing. He's out of his depth.
The game has passed him by.
It's passed him by. There, he's not delivering on the one thing he's known for, so hire somebody that can. Absolutely. Let's see. There was another one here. So Ryan Brown asks, how does this year's LSU do with last year's Jarrett Stidham versus Burrow? So in other words, instead of Burrow, you had last year's Jarrett Stidham playing quarterback for this year's. I think he'd be pretty darn good. I don't know if he could run the way Burrow does.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing that Burrow brings. Well, there's two things. One is we all saw this, and Stidham sometimes got a little happy feet in the pocket and didn't have the composure, I think, that Burrow has. And Burrow makes a lot of decisions in that offense. He makes a lot of decisions right before the snap and then right after the snap that adjust the play. And I think he processes things and does things really well. And I'm not saying Stidham can't do that. He clearly can because he's playing and he's, you know, on an NFL roster. But I feel like Burrow's physicality, the way he ran the ball and can run the ball, and I think his composure really put them over the top. I'd say they'd probably be 10-2 instead of him. They got the receivers. He could clearly hit guys that are open, so they'd have guys open and he'd be throwing it to them. So I think, yeah, they'd be pretty good.
Ah, I found out how to do it. Sorry, I was just trying to figure out how to if I wanted to just focus on you while you were talking and not have me just sitting here picking my nose or something. It offers me this, but not you. It offers us this, which we kind of settled on last time. It offers this, which you get a great view of my bookcase and your window, but I mean otherwise, you know, and then I can put you little, or I think that's the same thing as I got over here. Yeah. But I did figure out I can do this, which moves you in, and I can do this. Okay, so cool. I'm still learning the, he's making a new sign.
What the hell is the world coming to?
So, well, hold on. Just in case you missed it, that's just a little update from you in case our audience missed what I was doing. John was holding up a sign that says Van Plays the Controls. Last week he had a sign that says Soundboard Fan Club. Wasn't that it? I believe it was Soundboard Fan Club.
Smoke weed every day.
There it is, Soundboard Fan Club. All right.
Several people did ask me how they can join the Soundboard Fan Club, and we will be working on that. I will have some kind of membership drive for Soundboard Fan Club members. And we'll work on it.
Please clap.
Oh wow! All right. That's good. Good times. Well, let me see. We had a question: did Harvey Updike knife baby Trump balloon? I did. I love the question I saw on Twitter. Somebody said immediately after the Alabama game last night, Updike was asking people, "Where do they keep Mike the Tiger?" And yeah. And
we're laughing about it, but I think, you know, Feinbaum deserves some real criticism from Auburn fans and the SEC as a whole for putting Updike back on the air on Friday. Absolutely. That's like unforgivable.
That's terrible. Let's see. Wrong one. You know how Saban and Kirby get together to share tips on beating Auburn? Should just call up Steve Insminger? There was a time that I would have said Gus calling up Steve Insminger would be like the single worst thing anybody could ever do. But I guess, and you know what's funny is they would be like, dude, why don't you just throw over the middle, right? Why don't you send somebody up the seam there and why don't you put a running back out in the flat that Nix can just drop the ball to? Why does Nix drop back, look downfield, and then get killed? Why not have other places the ball can go? It's a crazy idea, I know, but it's revolutionary, but I think it's something they could look into. The idea of having more than two or three places the ball can go, you know, it'd be crazy and wild.
But, crazy town.
It would be. Before I forget about it, did you see the Iowa State-Oklahoma game, or did you see any highlights or anything?
After the Alabama game, I watched a good bit of the Georgia-Missouri game, and then I was flipping over to the Oklahoma game later. So, yeah, I saw some of it.
Okay. I watched the 15-minute highlights on YouTube this morning because I didn't really get to see much of any of it. And I just found so many things about that game where Iowa State should have won, or at least it should have gone to overtime. So, like, for example, at one point they got down in the red zone and went for the touchdown on fourth down when they could have kicked an easy field goal. If they kicked that field goal, they would have won the game because it had three more and they wouldn't have had to go for two at the end when it would have been tied, right? So not kicking the field goal there was a big mistake. And then you take your points when you can get them. And then never, I've said it so many times, don't go for two if you don't have to. Now, I know they were thinking we'd rather go for two and win it on one play than give Oklahoma the chance. But honestly, a two-point conversion is usually so hard that it's like saying, I want to put the outcome of this game, win or lose, on flipping a coin where I have to win three out of five flips or something. In other words, the odds are 60-40 or something against you.
But I think it depends. Like, if the choice is, in this case, a two-point conversion and then you make it and you win, or you don't. If you kick the extra point, you go to overtime on the road in Norman, Oklahoma, against a team with a better offense, you're probably not going to win in overtime. So I think your chances of winning in overtime are much lower than your chances of making a two-point conversion. So that's the calculation.
Yeah, I guess so. But on the other hand, they hadn't had any trouble scoring like several drives in a row there pretty much, except for the one where they should have kicked the field goal. So I can see it. It's just, it seems like every time, I can remember lots of examples of teams going for two in that situation and failing. I can't honestly remember any examples of a team going for two in that situation and winning. It seems like it just never happens. There's either like the ball gets knocked down or the runner gets stopped short. I mean, maybe was that Oklahoma Boise State bowl game years ago? Maybe they did that one.
Yes.
But that's about the only, I mean, it usually, maybe that's in everybody's head.
Statue of Liberty play.
Yeah, but it's like it's in everybody's head and they think, oh, it worked that time, it'll work this time. That's like the only time it worked, you know? So, but yeah, and then they had pass interference on the pass when he didn't catch it and they didn't call it. And that was pretty much the end of the game. So I just felt bad for Iowa State because they came so close so many ways. It shouldn't have even come to that. If they kicked the field goal, they wouldn't have even had to worry about the two-point conversion. So, but anyway.
No, that guy's a good coach, Matt Campbell.
Yeah, yeah. And to take Iowa State. What does it tell us about Oklahoma's defense, though?
They're not that good. They're better than they were last year, but it's at the beginning of the year, people thought they were really good. But I think in hindsight, they're 10% better than they were last year. They're not really good. And I think it's again, Oklahoma has Baylor coming up this week, and then they have Oklahoma State. So they have some tough games coming down the road. Baylor's undefeated and plays good defense, so that'll be an interesting matchup. So I'm kind of skeptical that Oklahoma's going to make it through without losing another game.
All right, how do you want to rank? I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Give me your top seven BCS, your top seven playoff. Yeah.
When I say this, I want to be clear. I'm not predicting what it's going to be. I'm saying the ranking should be right now.
Right now. Yes. That's very important. We're not talking about, this is not a prediction. This is not after they've played. Yeah. This is as of right now,
100%.
Where they are. Yeah. Because I got to fit somebody else in there, too.
All right. So then I'm going to go LSU, Ohio State, Clemson. I think that's very easy for me.
LSU, Ohio State, Clemson. Okay. I've actually got 8 written down now. I keep adding. Do as many as you like, and then I'll tell you mine.
Then I'm going to say...
Number 4 is tough.
It is tough. Minnesota.
Yes. I was hoping.
I watched that Minnesota game yesterday. I'm so happy for them.
Oh, I did too. Yeah.
So I'm Minnesota. They have a win over a top 5 playoff team, and not many, only LSU that really does. So I'll take Minnesota. Then I'll say Oregon, Georgia.
How far did Alabama drop on your list?
Alabama, Oklahoma, Baylor.
Okay.
Utah. So.
All right. I'm going to go, I'm reshuffling it based on something you just said. All right, hold on, let me see. Oh, here's a good Ryan Brown comment. Yeah, 22. I tweeted last night, 22 is the man.
It's so good.
All right, I'm reshuffling it now, and here we go. Here are my top 8. In fact, hold on. There it is. Da, 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 da. Van's top 8.
Holy cow! Oh my God!
And here we go. Number 1, LSU, because of their win. Number 2, Ohio State University.
You don't have to say that.
Number 3, the Minnesota Vikings. No, wait, Minnesota Golden Gophers. Because as you said, who was their big win over, and who is Clemson's big win over? So you can say, oh, Clemson's looking better of late. Yes, when Clemson plays cupcakes lately, they smush the cupcakes flatter than they have been. Congratulations, Cupcake Chef. So LSU, Ohio State, Minnesota, because of the strength of their win, Clemson 4th. I've got Alabama 5th, just because it was so close with LSU. Baylor, just because they're undefeated. Oregon, 7th. And I like the thought of us losing to a team that's in the top 7. I mean, beating a team that's in the top 7. We got shot at more. And then I got Georgia next, just because Oregon's loss was to a better team than Georgia's loss was.
That's fair. I think the way they're going to do it is more about who you beat than who you lost to.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to hurt both Alabama and Clemson, because Alabama, again, has beaten nobody. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, in that sense, you know, Oregon has better wins than them. And, you know, LSU has the most good wins, not just Alabama, but I don't know.
That's right. That's why I have them number one. Anybody with a quarterback has an 80% completion percentage will be successful. Well,
truth, but I think his completion percentage was 10 points lower last year. It's not just that he got better. It's that the system took a guy who was already talented and put him in a position to be even more successful by giving him open receivers and good throws.
And listening to them last night, comparing the statistics of that offense this year to like the Les Miles era and all those great receivers that did nothing for them, you know, it was hilarious. Like, they were saying the last time LSU beat Alabama, the quarterbacks, I guess two quarterbacks played in that game, together completed 8 passes with 2 interceptions, and they won.
Yeah.
So that was a defensive game with some missed field goals, too, to be fair. But it's just amazing how it just – I think LSU is just the poster boys for – how much difference a good system can make. Like, look at the 2012 Auburn personnel, and then you add Nick Marshall, and that's pretty much it in 2013, and you bring in a system that was fresh and new at the time and suited his abilities, and look at the difference between the 2012 and 2013 Auburn offense. People all over the country wanted that offense after 2013, you know. So it really shows you, I mean, we should be grateful that LSU hasn't been running this offense for the last 15 years, you know, because they'd have a lot more appearances in the SEC championship game and a couple more national championships maybe, because they've had the players. I would argue this year's LSU team is one of the lesser talented LSU teams I can remember in terms of players.
See, but I think you're underselling them. Okay. I think they have a lot of really good players, and I think they're – again, I get the idea why you say that, but I think it's a very, very talented team. And I think it's the same thing we were talking about with the running back. I think he gets underrated. I think the receivers get underrated. They have, you know, 3 defensive backs for sure that are going to be high draft picks. And one of them went out during that game, and that was part of how Alabama got back in the game.
Yeah,
is when Fulton went out. So my biggest thing about this game is I don't want to see it again. Like, Alabama should not get a pass and get in the playoff after that.
You don't think a very narrow loss to the number one or number two team where they scored 40-something points?
I think, and again, it goes back to what I said earlier, like, they have to show who they have beaten at the end of the year. So this is why, like, it's going to come down to the Auburn-Alabama game. Auburn has a chance to knock them out where there's no chance they go to the playoff. Right. And Alabama needs that win to show something, because they don't have any other ones.
Yeah, Alabama desperately needs us on their resume. That's pretty funny.
Yes.
I love the idea that they need us more than we need them. they usually don't like to admit things like that, but it's absolutely true. We would be easily the biggest biggest win on their schedule, wouldn't we? Uh-oh.
You need to click on Jared's comment.
Yeah, boy. I need to have I'm going to have to add an eagle sound effect to the soundboard now so that I can...
I was looking around to see if I had some kind of eagle.
I think all the Auburn stuff behind me is tiger related. Yeah, I don't have any eagle related, but yeah, no. Yeah, I guess that the fact that we're doing it without the eagle means that we are just two little country kids outside misbehaving. Every time. No. I guess let's see. In our last few
minutes. No lag.
Oh, I'm back. John's lagged out. We've got jet lag. Whoa, that was crazy. I wonder what that was. I've got the new system pumping out the voltage here, and yet we still have that occasionally. Probably somewhere between me and you, it's just crashing. I'll have to look at the YouTube broadcast later to see the quality level. Oh, he's been doing that the whole episode. He's got two signs. He's got two signs, yeah. I don't exactly know, but I don't know. Okay. Oh, boy. Well.
The other thing that really hit me this morning.
Yeah.
After watching that game and seeing how good LSU is. Again, I think we're going to – if you think the system is awesome, I think we will see a year from now when somebody besides Burrow is running that offense.
Yeah, we'll know more.
And I think it's going to be one of those things of like they're not going to be nearly as lethal once people have seen it for a year and it's not Joe Burrow. And I think people are then just going to be kind of a little bit of shine coming off them. But that's my prediction. But I just wanted to thank the SEC office – for saving us in 2020 from the Georgia-Alabama back-to-back in a road or home game scenario by moving the Georgia game to October and literally putting the LSU game the week before the Alabama game so we could play those two teams you just saw on TV yesterday, yep, 1 week and then the other. Not a bye week, not a Southern Conference team in between as a little buffer to prepare and heal, but literally – both those teams back to back, and that is like a big, this from the LSU SEC office.
I mean, just imagine, and Georgia's earlier, but I mean, the problem is LSU's better than Georgia now. We traded just as they traded.
But it's worse than that because at least with the Georgia game and the home away thing, there was a break. We had a week off.
Yeah.
The LSU game every single year is one of our most physical games, and our team is beat up coming into that game. Yeah. And now we're going to be beat up with a week to prepare to go in and play Alabama. That's the part that makes me angry. I think it's a recipe for failure on our part, yeah, in the Alabama game going forward because we're not going to be at full strength. So
yeah.
To answer Elvis's question, I mean, they are going to lose Burrow. They're going to lose, some of the guys, good guys they have on defense, Delfitt and the senior cornerback, the one that's really good, and a couple of the receivers.
What about that running back? Is he a sophomore or junior? I don't even know.
I'm looking.
He's pretty good. He might
want to. This is great audio right here. Keep going.
He might want to consider professional employment in that field because he seems to have a future in it, I'm thinking. So.
You think?
I think maybe he should consider it. By the way, while you're doing that, Jared says, have Saban's refs now entered the transfer portal?
He's a junior, so he's eligible to turn pro.
Go. Run like the wind with your national championship, yeah.
Be gone.
So funniest comment I've seen online today, Jared says, have Saban's refs now entered the transfer portal?
The best part of this, not the best part, because the best part is that they lost at home. But
absolutely.
One of the better parts is Alabama fans whining about the officiating. So.
That's funny. That's good. That's pretty rich. Alabama fans, well, they only whine about John looks up something sign.
Nice. Very smooth.
That's good. Yeah, they only usually complain when they lose and when something causes them something that they can put their finger on, regardless of whether it's legit. Oh, John. Okay, Jared says, what are your AU win percentage guesses for Georgia and Alabama at this point? I say we have a 50% with Georgia and a 60% with Bama. I've been the other way around. Well, up until last weekend, I said we had about a 60% chance of beating Georgia and a 35% chance of beating Alabama. Now I'm really looking at 50-50 on both of them is where I am right now. Well, it changes minute to minute.
I haven't seen the injury report for Georgia today. I think that's going to be big, and we'll talk a lot about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
But leaving that aside, I think Georgia plays the kind of offense that is much better for our defense to stop. And we're going to talk a lot more about this tomorrow and on Friday. But I think Georgia wants to run the ball, and that's what we want the other team to try to do against us. So I think we have – and again, they're both at home. I think you know, Georgia probably 60-65%, and Alabama, like you said, more 50%.
Who was Georgia playing last weekend where they kept converting the third down?
Florida.
Yeah. That's what I'm concerned about. I know that we can do at least as good of a job as Florida did in stopping Georgia's running game, at least until the fourth quarter.
Well, we can do better than they did.
Well, unless we get into the fourth quarter and the defense has been on the field for 90 snaps. Then that's when you give up the 80-yard run to Pirine or whatever. But if we can keep the ball ourselves a little bit, some kind of ball control at all, and not wear our defense out before the fourth quarter, then, yeah, we can stop the run. Can we stop their third down passing? So,
especially, again, their guy that made a lot of those third down conversions, Cager, left the game last night with an injury.
I saw that.
So if he is not healthy, that's a big advantage for Auburn.
That's a big,
huge.
That's a big point. Yeah.
So that's one of the number one things I'm going to be watching for this week.
Did you see that Chad Morris has already been fired? I'm sorry,
I
fried.
Did.
He's been fried, as that reporter said.
Adios, Chad Morris.
It's been fun. Yeah. Been quite a ride.
Farewell, sweet prince.
We barely knew ye.
I do think, like, I get it. Like, he didn't win an SEC game, and Western Kentucky came in with the quarterback that the Arkansas coaches ran off and came back into their stadium and torched them in front of about 10,000 fans. So,
wow.
It had to happen. I mean, there was, like, you can't bring him back next year and then go out and start selling season tickets. So, it's not good. But, you know, hey, Brett Bielema, you're paying him anyhow.
You bring him back, do you?
The real scenario for them, I think, is
hey, Beavis.
What?
Let's go fishing.
There's Bert. Okay.
The real scenario for them, I think, is Mike Leach.
Yeah.
That's who they should go get. He does well in remote spots where it's hard to recruit. He was in Lubbock, Texas, which is in the middle of nowhere in Texas.
Just that tough.
And he's in Pullman, Washington now, which is in the middle of nowhere on the eastern side of Washington. And he's done well. People say, like, oh, he's never going to win the national title. Hey, guess what? They're not winning national title in Arkansas anytime soon anyway, but he will make you respectable.
Yeah.
7-5, 8-4, a dangerous team that is not getting destroyed by Western Kentucky. So I think – and the best part would be if they hire him and then they go play Tennessee and beat Tennessee, especially like if it was in Knoxville and Fulmer was watching and Mike Leach and Bears Pruitt. That would be like the dream, you know, kind of
– Yeah, except that I don't want to play Mike Leach every year and if he's at Arkansas – You know who the big MVP, the real winner last night, besides all civilized humanity because Alabama lost, the real winner last night, as Ryan Brown points out, was Kevin Steele. As Ryan says, last night's game also underscored Kevin Steele's brilliance in Baton Rouge a few weeks ago. Yeah, because we held LSU in their own stadium to 10 points in the first half and to 23 overall. They doubled that at Tuscaloosa. Doubled it.
Yes. And it's not just, I mean, 100% on that. Kevin Steele deserves all the credit he's going to get and that kind of stuff. But I think the other thing it shows is that other people don't have the defensive linemen that Auburn has. We ran that three-man front against them and did fine, and a lot of other teams just can't do it.
They can't do it.
I mean, 99% of other teams can't do it. So.
That's right. Auburn Elvis says, I don't want to face Mike Leach in this. That's exactly what I was saying. I mean, I agree with John. It would be fun and it would be smart for Arkansas. I'm not sure I want it to happen.
Well, again, this is why they should hire him. Wouldn't you, like, if I told you they're hiring some other coach out of the AAC, Mike Norvell or whoever, you'd be like, oh, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if I told you they're hiring Mike Leach, you'd be like, I don't want any part of that.
That's what they should do if you're them.
Yeah. Yes.
Not sure that's what they should do if you're us.
But I'm not projecting on anybody here. But they're currently going through the fan base. We're an SEC team. We should be able to get anybody kind of thing. And the reality is they can't.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a bunch of Arkansas fans going back and forth with Andy Staples this morning about why can't we hire the Iowa State coach? And Andy Staples was like, he's not coming to Arkansas.
No.
You know, he was like the number two guy for Ohio State last year when they hired Ryan Day. He's not coming to Arkansas. So, If and I see that Leach at Kentucky thing. If Florida State hires away the lesser Stoops,
I was going to say, well, Kentucky, why would they get rid of Stoops unless he left, right?
No, because he's on Florida State's list.
No,
they're not going to get rid of him. Good gosh, listen, he almost deserves SEC Coach of the Year consideration. They've been playing a wide receiver at quarterback for 9 games now, and last night they were running the triple option against Tennessee.
All right, I got to go.
I'm
going to watch the Tennessee
Kentucky game.
Kentucky Tennessee. Okay.
I mean, Tennessee won, but Stoops is, you know, they were great last year. They were legitimately a 10-win team and should have won the East probably. And you know, so I think, and he was on the staff at Florida State and did well there. I think he's the guy that Florida State should hire.
Oh, okay.
I really do.
All right. Well, I guess the only thing left to say as we come to our 45-ish minute mark is, because this will go out last before our before we leave on the trip. So it might actually, I might post it like on Wednesday then, since Thursday I'll be packing up and leaving. I'm going to be packing up Thursday morning, going to work, my wife going to work, Mira going to school. As soon as I'm done, I'm going to come pick Mira up, go pick up my wife from her job, and we're getting right on the interstate and heading south. We're going to get down to about North Alabama Thursday night. That's about as far as we can get by about 1 a.m. Friday morning, we'll get up early and drive on down to Auburn. 11 o'clock Central, Friday morning, okay? And we'll be doing our show about 1 o'clock Friday from AU Bookstore.
1 o'clock Central Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Time from the Auburn University Bookstore. We'll be sending out a link where you can watch it live and ask questions and that kind of stuff. And afterwards, after we clean up from the live show, we're going to be doing a book signing at the Auburn University Bookstore. We worked that out with them.
Oh, we are doing it.
We are doing it. They worked it out. I apologize. I haven't. This is fan.
This is news to me.
So, and then it was a dramatic pause.
Well, everything was still live to me. I just saw John looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm like, "Yes, John, what's wrong?" And you're just like, I'm like, oh, I guess we're lagging. And then the whole thing went black. And I'm like, yeah. So anyway,
You can come to the bookstore. You can send in comments and questions. And we'll use them. And there'll be a live feed where you can watch the show live. We're going to have Brandon Marcello as a guest again and ask him questions and stuff. So is there anything you want to ask him, send it to us and we'll do it.
So AU Bookstore, 1 p.m. Friday. There it is. Yes, I do, because I want people to see the banner. AU Bookstore, 1 p.m. Friday is the live show. When is the book signing? After that?
Probably 3 p.m.-ish, 2:30 to 3. In there, we clean up from we do the live show, we clean up.
Then we'll sit out ballpark there. So hopefully somebody will come by. We'll have books.
If you have books you already own, bring them. We'll sign them.
That's what we said last year.
Whatever.
We bring in your Game of Thrones books. We'll sign that since we did the show about it for so long.
I will 100% sign that and say George finished the series. So,
And I will bring I'll bring down a few copies of Vegas Heist then, because people like that and they bought a couple last year. So I'll bring a couple more copies. So, all right. Well, join us like Tuesday morning on your podcast device for our show that we will record Monday night at 8, where we'll talk a lot more about Auburn and Georgia and preview the Georgia game. And otherwise, War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.